Welcome to the NLX Dynasty Daily Podcast. I'm your host, Jordan McNamara. Going to dive into some of the real draft position tracker, do a quick rundown of some of the notable features about each position. So start with the quarterback position. Again, this is on analyticsdynasty.com. It is paced. I have it a couple of different places in a couple of different ways, not to bore you with the details, but I have it as a page and a post. So the post, it's the same user feature. It's in the top of the page. I have three basically posts. They're featured posts. If I designed the website again now, I wouldn't have done it this way, but back when I did it, it was sort of new to me, so I didn't exactly know what I was getting into with sort of that feature or whatever. So I put it there. That way it's front and center. Again, I'd probably do it differently if I could do it again. And then up in the top left-hand corner as well, I have under where it says the Analytics of Dynasty Strategic Dynasty Advice. It's the top thing, Analytics Dynasty Real Draft Position Tracker. So that's where you can find it. And it should always be, definitely it's always going to be in the top left-hand corner of the page there. And any of the other tool things that we have coming on the pike, those are going to be there as well. So, all right, so let's look at the quarterback stuff. Again, I think it's pretty helpful in terms of looking at these. No real surprise. There's a lot of quarterbacks going early. So you have Mahomes, Allen, Murray, Watson, Herbert, Lamar Jackson, Dak Prescott, all first-round guys. So I have to go back and look at this. I'll do a little study of this here over the next couple of weeks. But look at some of the Superflex ADP historically. That's going to be really really loaded first round. And then when you go out and to get Joe Burrow at 8, he's at 202. That's his median draft position. And then you get Russell Wilson at 9, quarterback 9. He's at 203. It's his median draft position. So all those things, I mean, you basically look in the top 15 picks or so, you're going to expect about 9 quarterbacks. So that's quite a bit of a run there. So I will say, like, if you want to get in at the position, you got to go early. And the question is like, do you want a top 10 guy? If you want a top 10 guy, if you're drafting in the middle part of the round, probably going to need to take a quarterback in the first round. Again, I think there's other ways to go. We'll sort of talk about that. As we sort of get more data, I think it's doable, right, to sort of go another way. But you have to be very conscious of doing that. So I guess if I were to sort of pivot and say, all right, we were to go a different way, assuming you could sort of bank on Rodgers as quarterback one, I guess that would be the place to start. Again, the problem with that, though, is it's still late second round. So, again, my question is like, if you're kind of mid first and you pass on like Deshaun Watson or, you know, Dak Prescott, right, those would be my two targets in that range sort of after Mahomes. If you're going to pass on them and, you know, say that's at 4 or 5 or something like that, and you are going to wait to the end of the round and you sort of miss on Rodgers, what's that do to you, right? I mean, that's, it might be tough, right? So again, I think it matters on team build. It matters on what type of risks you're willing to take, because I think there's a way to do it. Other years, my suggestion would be wait, right? But the market is just so not waiting. And I think they're largely right, right? I think it makes a lot of sense. You have young quarterbacks who are very good going at the top of a super flex draft. Like, that's at the most important position, that's an efficient market, as a general strategy. So that doesn't surprise me all that much. Again, you can go the other way. You can be contrarian, but that's fraught with danger, right? So if you don't get a one, right, the quarterback two you're going to play is your quarterback one, and the quarterback, you know, the quarterbacks thereafter, right, you have to do that right and not make those mistakes. So that would sort of be my initial thought on this data, is if you're not going to get in the top 15 picks on a quarterback, right, you're going to have to look a different way. Again, I wouldn't probably advise that at this point in the, I'd be much more apt to try and stack two quarterbacks than I would be to go zero in the top two rounds, right? So that would sort of be my thought. Again, I've done one draft. And honestly, if we do this in April, or maybe we even do this in August, right? I think April will have a better idea. August, I think, will definitely have a better idea. I can see going late there. Right? I can see going late. And I do think there's different strategies you need to employ. I talked about this in the book with some of the running back stuff. Yeah, we know who the back, we have a better idea who the running backs are that are going to be backup relevant in August than we do in February. Same thing with some of these quarterback situations. With all the movement, again, we've seen two big ones, right? We've seen the Stafford-Goff trade, and we've seen the Carson Wentz trade. And you know, the over-under that Schefter set was 18.5. So I don't think that's idle speculation. I think that's probably coming from somewhere. Now, is it an exaggeration? He said he would take the over. I mean, I would take the under. It seems like a pretty safe bet. Would sort of be my thought on the under, just because that's a ton of movement. But you know, if I'm sure that is coming from someplace. So I think there's going to be a lot of movement. I don't necessarily want to be making bets at quarterback twos that aren't going to end up being there, right? It's Jimmy Garoppolo or Darnold or, you know, some of these other guys, you know. Yeah, I don't know if that like, includes a Baker Mayfield, includes a Daniel Jones, includes a Derek Carr. Like, I have a hard time seeing some of these guys not being starters, but, you know, like Drew Locke, right? All of these things, like, if that's sort of the number, right, that's the risk of players that are that become the tranche or the range of players that become much more at risk, right? So you know, if you're saying, hey, there's going to be three or four, that gives you a lot more stability in the quarterback, you know, 10 to 20 range, right? Because if you know, conditioned on knowing that there's going to be three or four changes at quarterback, the odds that it's those guys is pretty low. If we think that there's going to be double digits, those guys are much more exposed to some uncertainty that I don't think we have a good appreciation of the risk on right now. So that would sort of be my initial thought. Again, I think you can go late, but I think it's taking on a level of risk. There's upside there too, but it is taking on a level of risk that you kind of have to be really precise later on. So just sort of know that decision. So again, Rodgers is at 211, and there's a two-round tier break. That is pretty notable to me. And I might try and explore this. Something that was brought up in the GroupMe chat is the spread between Rodgers and Tannehill. That's basically two plus rounds. What's the difference, right? Quarterback 10 to quarterback 12 in terms of our median stuff there. Yeah, I think there's probably more upside on Rodgers, but I'd be interested to explore that cost. So I have him in a couple of spots. I'm going to sort of peruse what that cost difference there. Again, I actually think for how good Rodgers was last year and some of his touchdown stuff, I actually don't think he's overpriced. So, you know, usually you see these guys with high touchdown rates really get priced high. I don't think that's going on with Rodgers. Again, the age is probably suppressing that a little bit, but he can return quarterback 10 valuation over the next couple of years. That shouldn't be a problem. If you sort of look above him, you know, and that also includes the fact that Lawrence is going above him in ADP, right? So when you sort of put Lawrence in there, it's going to be more like 12, 11, 12, maybe, you know, we'll see what the movement on Jalen Hurts is. That's going to be one we're going to watch for now. You know, I suspect he doesn't get up above Rodgers, but that two-round gap could certainly close. I'm not going to be the one closing it down, but that could be certainly something that happens. So then you sort of get to round five, right? Again, if you're going to go as quarterback one, Tannehill, I don't think you can wait to 502 to do that. I think you're going to need to go, you know, if that's late third or into the fourth round, right? Tannehill at 502 is much different as quarterback two than he is at quarterback one in terms of how your willingness to wait there. So I probably, if I was going to go quarterback, at probably the latest I would take QB1 is like round four, assuming that there's like 10 off the board already. So that would just be my thought there, because my first strategy, right? Again, I talked about this in you know, in the book and some of the appearances that I've made. You basically start with you know, working backwards and sort of building groups of, you know, building team builds, right? With sort of, hey, if my quarterback one looks like this, this is what quarterback two needs to look like. I think if I was going to punt on quarterback early, which is doable, and this doesn't factor in trading down, right? Because you could maybe do that and sort of hit it differently, right? So I'm just sort of going from a stock build, not assuming a trade down. You're sort of overweight in the second round or something like that. But if you're sort of going, you know, I don't think Tannehill and Stafford is a 1-2, right? If you're going to pass on the top 10, 11, 12 guys and sort of hit that as one and two, like that's pretty interesting, right? Because I think that's pretty high floor in the next couple of years. And I think that there's plenty of ceiling there as well, especially Stafford. I think Stafford's got some pretty nice upside ceiling looks there. You know, you could see 8 yards per attempt pretty easily, I think, just doing the math on some of that stuff. You know, so that would sort of be, if I was going to miss on the beginning ones, I would probably try and get at least one of those and maybe do a stack there with the two of them in like the fourth, fifth round, or even third, fourth, right? I think that's if you were to trade down, right, and sort of accumulate another pick, I think you could go early and then lock those two guys in. And I think that's a pretty successful start, assuming not one of the elite guys up at the top. Then you sort of get into, you know, there's sort of mini runs here. So you got, you have Tannehill, Stafford, Mayfield, and Tua in round five. Again, my targets there would be Stafford and Tannehill. I'd be pretty concerned about Mayfield and Tua, right? You can convince me on Mayfield later on, but not here. Again, he does have a higher median ADP, which than Stafford, but Stafford has a higher median overall. So that actually indicates a some weirdness in the market there with them. So you could see Mayfield going up ahead of Stafford, right? In a fair number of leagues, I would think. That would sort of be just one thing I'd keep in mind there in terms of his in terms of where he's at. Tua, again, I'm not touching that with a 10-foot pole at his price point. You do have Cousins at 18, for example. So, and that's 701, right? So, again, if I were to sort of go Tannehill, Stafford, Cousins, right, I could sort of make that as a top two. The ceiling's a little bit capped, I think, in terms of doing that. And you're probably not going to get a top five finish out of a season, I would suspect. So, you got to be right at your other positions. Again, you need to get security and ceiling out of other positions when you do that. So that would just be, you know, the thing there. The other person sort of in that range, right? So you get the guys in the fifth round and you get Carson Wentz in the sixth. Again, he's QB 16. I can't justify that. So if he was quarterback 24, right? If he was going Sam Darnold level at 21, that's ninth round, something like that. And again, once you factor in some of the quarterbacks from this class in there, you know, maybe he ultimately looks like quarterback 22 or something like that, 20, right? When you sort of do all the math on that, I can't justify 16 right now. I just can't. There's just too much risk there for me. You know, Kirk Cousins is significantly safer and arguably has higher ceiling too. So that would be, you know, the clear avoid player is Wentz at 16. Cousins is a clear target at 18. Daniel Jones at 18.5, Carr's in there at 18 as well. Give me Cousins over Carr. What's interesting is Ryan's at 20, and then Goff is actually at 21.5, right? So again, if I was trying to sort of build a couple of floor options, right, I think I feel pretty good with Goff at his cost. Ryan, I feel pretty good about his cost. I'd rather have Goff a couple rounds later, I think. But I do think the Ryan thing's interesting. Again, is he traded? What's that sort of look like? You know, the Justin Fields to Atlanta trends are pretty, you know, they're pretty continuous there in terms of some of the predictions there with some mock drafts that we're seeing. So maybe there's some smoke there. And I think that'd be a really interesting pairing there. Again, if they sort of sat him similar to the way that Kansas City treated Mahomes, that would be pretty interesting because it might drive down his price just enough that you can get him a little bit later, and that would be interesting instead of some of the quarterback two pricing that we've seen him early on and some of the rookie ADPs. That would be one that I think might ultimately be a really nice long-term play, but you get at quarterback three or quarterback four valuations. That'd be pretty nice, especially if you got like Lance going to a more wide open situation and Zach Wilson going to an open situation as well, right? I think you could see a situation like that with Fields where he falls. So that would, I don't think Ryan's done, right? But I think Ryan has that risk with a guy like Fields. Again, does he kind of go a la Alex Smith and go to another team, kind of put in a sort of a, hey, we can do this as a contending type of team, I just think when we sort of count these guys, that Ryan's going to be one that's going to have a chair at the end of the day, right? So that would sort of be the thought. You know, when you look last year, Winston ended up not having a chair, right? Dalton ended up not having a chair. Newton did. I don't think Ryan's going to be one of those guys that's left without a chair, would sort of be my thought on him. Brady's at 21. Again, that's a 1 to 2 year window type pick. And if you're sort of looking in that range, you know, the upside beyond that probably isn't there, whereas it could be with Goff. Heck, it could be with Derek Carr, you know, some of the guys in that range. If that's a quarterback three situation, especially if you're going to go younger at the position, like I think Brady's totally relevant in that range. And if you sort of miss out early on, you know, maybe you miss out on a quarterback, you know, if rookie picks are involved right now and you sort of get one earlier on, you can kind of pair, you know, what you think might be a Wilson or a Fields or a Lance with a Brady share, you know, rounds later, and sort of, you know, give yourself a little bit of a two-way go. And if you were trying to do that as like a quarterback two or three situation, I can see I'd much rather do it at quarterback three than quarterback two. But yeah, I mean, that's kind of that price point there. So, and then, yeah, Goff at 21.5, you know, 21.5 is totally a target player there for me. So that would be the one thing I would think about for him. And then you get Darnold after him. I have some concerns about him. I'd much rather go Jameis Winston over Darnold. Jameis Winston's going about a half round later. That's ninth round. It seems like a pretty interesting target. What's notable is Jameis Winston is going ahead of guys that are presumed starters at this point. I use that term very loosely. Drew Lock, Jimmy Garoppolo, Teddy Bridgewater. I don't think anyone is really buying that right now. You know, Carolina's basically all but said they want out of him. So, you know, that's certainly a concerning spot for sure. So again, that feels more like a quarterback four investment than it does as a quarterback three investment. That feels more like a bridge backup type investment than it does like a quarterback two in super flex. Taysom Hill, I do think like if you were trying to figure out a quarterback three situation, right, for this year, and maybe it's not necessarily a long-term bet, but hey, you get a couple of these guys. And again, I'd maybe do this more if I had a sure bet up at quarterback one or quarterback two. But if I was trying to figure out quarterback three, stacking Jameis Winston with Taysom Hill, and that's ninth in the 13th round, you know, maybe you go up and you go eight, you know, into the eighth to get Jameis Winston. You go up and, you know, into the 12th or something to get Taysom Hill, sort of lock them both in. I think that's, you have a really good shot to have the starting quarterback for the Saints. So that would sort of be my thought there with those guys. I would take over a half, and heck, it could be over one, right? If you were to sort of set a line on that, I wouldn't take over one, but I would take over a half that one of those guys is a 2021 starting quarterback in the NFL. And, you know, it's possible that could break really right for you and you get two. So, again, Taysom Hill, you can sort of poo-poo that. Right? It's very critical. Some of the analytics community doesn't really like him. I don't think it was as bad as people thought in terms of some of the stats, and the running quarterback thing. I mean, he was like a top 12 player when Breeze was out. I mean, that is fantasy value from QB 28. You know, you'd much rather take that than Trubisky at quarterback 28, which is right. He's the same median, right? You know, so that would sort of be the thought there. Ben is at 33. Again, I think that's going to widely vary depending on what the, you know, what the next couple weeks brings in terms of his contract situation. I think we'll probably have a good idea when the league year opens up in early March about that situation. You know, Minshew's a guy too that, hey, maybe he's not with a chair right now, but, you know, is someone looking for sort of a stopgap type? Maybe they sort of go that route. I wouldn't necessarily rule that out. It's probably a lower likelihood, but 18th round, I mean, you know, he's basically a one injury away guy we know that can somewhat play. I think that's interesting. Brissett is a guy that you could conceivably see left with a chair. I don't think it's that likely. I think much more likely to have that happen is Ryan Fitzpatrick at 38, right? So that would be a target player, 38 over quarterback 38. That's 21st round for Ryan Fitzpatrick. I think that's totally a target player in that range. And of the guys sort of down there, I think him, maybe Alex Smith and Andy Dalton, the most likely ones to end up as starters. So that would sort of be the thought there. Again, Mason Rudolph's going 29th round. Again, I think you probably have to take him sooner than that, just off on the off chance that Ben retires in the next couple weeks, right? Or the off chance they cut him, right? For a moment in time, Mason Rudolph might be the starting quarterback, and they might not necessarily have a great way to fill that position either, right? So we could say, oh, they'll just draft someone. It's easier said than done. So sort of be my thoughts on the position. Again, I wouldn't be in on like the Foles so much, you know. Dwayne Haskins, I guess, is like interesting as a reclamation type, but I don't really like what I've seen so far. Jacob Eason's 33.5 in terms of his median. Again, the sample size is super small. Just know that it's only a couple of guys, but that he deserves nowhere near that consideration just because now that they have Wentz, so that's probably old data. Taylor Heinicke is one that's interesting. And if you sort of wanted to go Taylor Heinicke, I think Heinicke is the right word, right pronunciation of his name, and Alex Smith is a stack later on. Say, hey, do I have a shot at having one of them? Maybe. That could sort of bridge a gap. You know, do they have an answer ready-made? I don't think they do. And, you know, both of those guys, you know, showed that they can somewhat still play. Alex Smith showed that he can somewhat still play, and Heinicke, you know, showed that he has some, at least some excitement factor. If he sort of got all the way through, that maybe he could sell him at a profit. That would seem possible. So that's really the big takeaway that I would have. Again, I think you really need to make a decision on early quarterback. I think that's where you need to start your analysis and really think about that. And if you're not going to do that, or if you're going to wait and not take one in the first round, you really need to have a contingency plan. Right? So I'm not saying that you can't get one in the second round, but or wait later on it. But if you're not going to take one in round one, have a plan about how to address it. Right? Have a plan with what you feel comfortable at quarterback two, at quarterback one, at quarterback three. You know, a quarterback four, right? You need to have sort of those benchmarks in mind, and then don't miss them. That would sort of be the thought. You know, and again, maybe if you have rookie picks involved right now, that one of those is a quarterback, right? You can sort of pencil that in. I wouldn't pen it in, because you want to give yourself flexibility, and that's one of the values of these picks right now, is the flexibility aspect of them. You know, so that would just be a caution that I would have. You say, oh, well, I got 102, it'll be a quarterback. Like, if you want to trade down, if you want to move, like, you don't want to be necessarily locked into that. So give yourself options. And maybe that is a, hey, you know, I've got a couple of guys, you know, I've got Tannehill and Cousins, and I've got 102. But then I sort of take the Winston, Taysom Hill duo there and say, okay, well, now I've got, you know, I've got options, right? So in case that I want to move that quarterback, you know, that 102 in a rookie draft, I can do it. Right, that would sort of be one play that I would think about, right, in that context. So, yeah, that would definitely be a way that I would approach it. All right, well, that'll do it for this episode. Until next time, continue embracing the variance, and we'll talk again very soon.